Podcasting 2.0 for September 8th, 2023, episode 145, Valuedation. Hello, everybody. Once again, time for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, the only boardroom that has zero stock certificates. And only one heart out today. Everything going on with podcasting. Yeah, you know that RSS stuff, podcasting. Everything happening at podcastindex.org, podcastindex.top, the namespace, and of course, all the happenings at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, and in Alabama, the man whose middle initials are TLV. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
This week, the Roadcaster is fully operational.
It is. We did
I'm the Roadcaster master.
We did a little tweaking, and it sounds good. Yeah, I mean, it really sounds good. Do you have a noise gate on this thing? Do you have a noise gate set up?
Dude, I got no idea. This thing's been out of the box for a maximum of 15 minutes.
Oh, so it can still freeze up, is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, it's going to happen. I'm going to get the boot. Halfway through the show.
So this is the they sent you a new one, I presume.
Yes, they did. I called the B&H photo people, and they went,
okay, we know what that is.
I said I submitted a ticket with Road, and they're like, don't bother with that.
Don't bother.
Yeah, we'll just send you a new one.
So Road doesn't talk to anybody.
They did respond to my email about, last night.
Oh, yeah.
So that's about a week later.
Okay. It was better than nothing. Yeah. I mean, I've reached out to him many times. Nothing. Just nothing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, nothing. Nothing.
No, that's you're just the pod father. I mean, why would they listen to what you say?
You are the pod sage. You know, you'd expect somebody to respond somehow, but I guess not.
Oddly enough, they didn't seem to realize that. So that's shocking.
Did you send out your tweet and everything? Did you do all that stuff?
I'm literally doing it while I'm talking to you.
I knew it.
You could tell. You felt it.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So a lot of stuff going on while you're doing that. We are lit and live. Hello, chat room. We're not lit. What?
Wait, what? We're not
on the stream. What is someone saying? This is... Oh, I'm in the wrong chat room. Here we go. There we go. People are like, you're not an I go away. Let me see. Are we lit? Yeah.
Why are you here?
Yeah. What are you doing? This is no agenda. Go away. Well, okay. All right. So are we good here? Yes, we're good. It says we're not lit. What do you mean I'm not lit? What? I am lit. I pinged everything and said good to go. Well, let me check again then. Let me see. Says live. Yes, I did that. I saved it. I published the fee. I'll just do it again. Just to prove the point. Why not?
To quote Cotton Gin, you are not lit.
Yeah, it's not a helpful error message, Cotton Gin. I don't know what that means. Yeah, see, it's I mean, like me personally, I'm not lit. No, I'm not lit. I stopped doing drugs in November last year.
Sam Sethi said, I was going to watch rugby otherwise.
Is he in the chat room? Is he in the chat room? Yeah,
no, he's on the Mastodon. It's good to know that we preempt rugby.
I didn't forget to lit. I lit it up. I fired that thing up loud. Anyway. So there's a lot going on in the world. But before we talk about anything, do you have your list from last week? I had a hard out, and then there was all this stuff that you wanted to talk about. We wound up talking about, funny enough, about the Roadcaster and a lot about the music stuff. So, mm-hmm. But you had some other important things on the list.
Let me look at it.
They were so important. Got to look at the list. Yeah.
Well, you know, I still sound like a robot. Which I don't understand, so I'll have to figure that out later.
Sound like a robot here. That's what's kind of weird.
It's actually kind of bothersome because it's distracting me. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'm going to get over it because I'm a professional.
If it's distracting you, we can fix that.
No, I'm good.
But because you did hit the robot button earlier. Is that stuck?
Are you talking about this that makes me sound like a woman?
Yeah. Is that what you're hearing in your headphones?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I'm I mean, the box, like I said, this thing's been out of the box for 15 minutes and I couldn't even get it hooked up to my computer through USB, but I did manage to find the sound effect. So you can see what's important to me.
Well, just make sure all other faders are down. How about that?
All other faders are down.
Yeah. So if you look at your screen, there's nothing else that should be open except for the chat bubble and your, and mic one.
Yeah, I've got mic one. Okay. Yeah, mic one's all the way up at the zero. It's like at the neutral position.
Yeah, no, but it sounds, okay. It feels to me like something else is open that you're unaware of.
This is probably true. Seeing as how everything is, I'm unaware of.
Well, do you see any other white lines on your faders, or is everything down at the bottom?
Well, okay, so there's over on the right-hand side, there's these three on the screen. I'm talking about the screen. Mm-hmm. So on the screen, there's the, you know, there's like USB 1, chat, and USB 2.
Right, so chat USB should be open. One, everything else should be closed.
Well, USB 1 has a red, like, mute symbol, like okay. Slash yeah. To the speaker.
That's good, yeah, it's muted, yeah.
Chat has nothing, it's good. Blank. There's yep. No icons
that's
there.
That's good.
And USB 2 has a slash through the speaker.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, then it must be your ears.
It's just me. I'm just crazy. All
right. Who knows what's going on?
Powering forward.
But if it's hard for you to talk, then I want to fix it.
It's not hard for me to talk. I'm good with that. You know, maybe I'm too loud in my own headphones.
Okay.
Because, see, I prefer for my volume to myself to be a little bit lower and you to be jacked.
Okay.
I need you loud and me soft.
That's what she said. Okay. So bring your mic down and,
well, how do I do that? But if I bring my mic down, that's going to mess you up.
No, right? I'll raise it up here. It's no problem. Go ahead.
Oh, so my mic to me, no, it's still doing it. That didn't have an effect.
Well, you didn't do anything. Did you lower your mic? I didn't see
yes.
anything.
Yes, no. I did. I okay. did lower it.
Okay. So it's lower and it didn't get less loud in your headphones?
It did, but I still sound like I'm in a coffee can.
That may just be the sound.
Okay. Do I normally sound like I'm in a coffee can?
No, you don't sound like you're in a coffee can. I think that's because...
Is that the sound? Is
no,
that
the Adam Curry sound? No, I have no idea. But
I'll figure this out. I'll get it figured
out. As long as it's not a delay, as long as it's just a coffee can. Because you don't sound like you're in a coffee can.
It could be a delay. That's a good point. It could be a delay. It could be a slight delay that's the issue.
That was my thinking. It's like this: you're hearing something coming back.
Let's see.
This is riveting, by the way. Everyone's very excited, great. Very excited about it. We could have done this beforehand, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Technically could not have, though, because I only unboxed it, you know,
yeah.
Okay. 10 minutes before the show. Okay. I'm serious. I can power through this. I'm
okay. Good. All right. But we will have to get it fixed. Okay. Yes. Two big pieces of news. I'll start us off with the news of the day. The news of the day. Clubhouse.
That's there's news about a club.
Yeah. I always like to, when I was right about something, just like to stomp it in people's face.
Oh, did they shut down? Did they go to business?
No, they're pivoting from live audio to group messaging.
That's stupid.
And I just want to remind everybody how jacked and jitty you all were about this thing. It's the future of podcasting. Oh, yeah, it's great. Oh, it's fantastic. Yes, this is it. This is it. This is where all podcasts will be done.
Clubhouse, they're basically what Anchor was. I mean, Anchor did this too. I have a buddy who's in a startup. It's,
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. Well, he was in a startup, but they pretty much failed.
They shut down. Yeah. I'm not laughing about them, but yeah, I'm laughing about it. That's how it goes. And there's no more money. Can't feed the beast. Yep.
And he was like, we've only got, you know, we're supposed to have like 25,000 users at this point. We've only got 270. And I was like, well, you know, it sounds like you just need to switch from this thing to this like this other thing. He's like, well, I didn't. He didn't understand the pivot. He he didn't understand how to pivot. And so he's talking to these other guys who are in startup developers, and they were like, "Oh yeah, we've pivoted like 15 times." He's like, "Our original product is not like that was like 16 pivots ago. We're now, you know, it's like we started as a, you know, live streaming online, and now we're like a, you know, healthcare app."
Right. Well, the pivot that he should have made is he called one of these 50 companies that will do fake signups for you just before the board meeting. This is what Silicon Valley is rife with. It's like, hey, man, our metric with our VC is it's either a number of users, number of, you know, X's, you know, whatever your KPIs are. And then you just go out and buy it. And then you go raise some more money.
Yeah.
That's whatever. That's what they all do.
Not a whole lot different from the music streaming model.
We're going to get to that in a moment. The second piece of news is, and again, I mean, I could see this coming down Broadway. Podcast One finally, and they didn't really have an IPO. They spun out of Live One, whatever that's called.
Yeah, I think it was Live One.
Live One. So they didn't raise money, because normally a public offering is where you sell all the stock and you raise money. So this was all insiders, as far as I can tell. And you know, they rang the, and I was look. I'm excited for anybody to go public. I've done it. It's a very tough path, because you know, you project your numbers every quarter, and then you have to hit the numbers, and you're scrambling to hit the numbers, and by the time you hit the numbers, like, we got to start working on the next quarter. And it's like a YouTube algo, only with real money and lots of angry people who own your stock. And it's just as bad if you over project. So if people think, oh, it's great, we beat our numbers, that's actually not a good thing. Because they say, well, how come you couldn't predict it? You know, you have to be able to
be idiots.
Yeah. If it's, you know, you got to have a good reason for the surprise.
Or it must have been a fluke.
Exactly. And so I saw them, you know, there's all these people were, you know, ringing the NASDAQ bell this morning. Well, that's cute. And and then the stock was just not hitting the tape. I'm like, where is it? That's always a bad sign.
Why?
Because that means there's some issue with the pricing. So they were priced at $8 to come out at $8. And not hitting the tape means they haven't started trading, which means the underwriter or whoever is the market maker for the stock doesn't have the buyers to support the $8.
Oh, yeah. If you can't get an initial trade, then you have no price. Yeah.
Well, so the price. So it was, and I've been through a pricing. It's very harrowing. You know, it's like,
yeah,
because you have all kinds of insiders who have agreements. Like, hey, man, you got to come. This got to come out at $8. Yeah, but you got to hold. Don't flip it. Everyone lies in this game, and it's horrible. And these guys had a rough ride this morning. They finally came out around. Let's see what time they came out. They came out at 11:15 is when they hit the tape at $8, plunged immediately to, under 5.5. Then went as low as $4.10.
Yikes.
They had four trading halts last time I looked, which means, you know, it's so volatile that this is the free market, everybody. Oh crap, people are losing their shirts. It's our guys. Halt. Stop the trading.
Yes, it's so free. So
yeah,
free.
Yeah, complete open market for free market.
So is this PODC is the stock symbol?
Yeah, PODC. Okay. Yeah.
Is it $4.49?
Yeah, $4.49 right now. So that's a fair price then. That would be the price, but a lot of people got screwed. Especially if they, you know, because I think that they were trying to lure a lot of podcasters in, like, hey, you know, we'll give you this stock. And who knows what the insider price was. I guess we could figure it out. But for people who were thinking they got it at $8, you know, that's quite a hurtful day. And it just doesn't look good. This will take many quarters to get this back up over the IPO price.
Well, they're still 10 times more than BuzzFeed. So they're all good.
BuzzFeed? Aren't they completely bankrupt? Aren't they completely gone?
Their stock is at 36 cents. It just happened to be on the side of my screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad. Well, they should do what apparently everybody is doing is scam. I mean, holy crap. You and I had, we've had some conversations with some artists, some people in the music business and who are kind of flocking to us, which is beautiful to see. And the excitement in value for value music being played on podcasts. There's certainly excitement from podcasters who are like, how do I do it? How do I do it? I don't understand SplitKit so hard, huh? What? Which is all true.
It is all true. 100% true. Yes. 100%.
And I'm just getting email after email. But hey, how do I get considered? How will you play my song? And, you know, so I said, well, here are the four places you can get your music up. And along the way, holy crap, have we gotten a look into what's happening, how it works? Let's put it this way. Value for value music on podcasts, there's no competition. It is a complete blue sky, open field. There's
green field,
blue sky. There is nothing stopping anybody from being successful because Spotify and the streaming platforms is a humongous scam. And I mean, the takeaway is if you want to even be considered to hit the algorithm, you've got to have 10,000 what they call streams, which I guess is listens, people listening. And who knows if that means for 1 second, for a whole song or whatever, of which Spotify, I'm just using Spotify as the example, of which Spotify will disqualify any at random, what they say, oh no, that's not a valid stream, because of course, the minute you're an artist, you get all kinds of emails from all these companies, the same ones that have been doing this for Silicon Valley companies for years. Hey, you know, we can get you 5,000 streams. We can get you 50 streams. We'll get you on a playlist. It's important to be on the playlist, the top playlist. We'll get you blogs, and everything costs money. And then you still have to release a new track every 5 weeks. Every 5 weeks, you have to release new music. Otherwise, the algo drops you. This is horrible.
So we already know that these streaming companies like Spotify, they don't want you streaming the big stuff because they have to pay for that.
Right.
So what they want is for playlists. And we saw it with it's probably been about a year ago that we watched a video where this guy kind of went through it and he said, if you start a playlist, let's just say, hot jazz. Mm-hmm. And then the first four or five songs will be songs that you know, you're, oh yeah, yeah, I know these bands. And by the time it gets to like song 10, you don't know any of these artists anymore. They're
all people who have paid to be on that playlist.
Right. And that's the streaming company, they don't have to pay out for that.
Correct.
They're getting paid.
Yeah.
So you don't like, they don't have to pay the royalty. They're getting the money's coming back to them. It's because they're giving out their, let's see, what would you call that? They're giving preference to the lower tier artists that are having to pay to get in the game. So they don't have to make a payout. Instead, they're getting paid.
Yeah.
It's just such a scam.
Well, yeah. If you look at really what's going on here, Spotify, I think they do about $3 billion a quarter in revenue. And something like $800 million is left over in gross profit. So there's, you know, that the people who own Spotify, who own the shares and who have all the back end deals are the labels. So, you know, if you're signed to a label, which by the way, a label will not even consider you unless you have a million social network followers, you know, because they need that to trigger all the algos. I mean, it's all so insidious that actually the labels, they control the money flow. They control everything. Oh, it's just time to suck out $800 million. You know, it's time to suck out $1 billion. It's this month. and they just spin up the algos, and then it's all their stuff. And then, you know, it's their artists. They have the publishing. They own all of it. And that's why people are left with nothing. It's the whole thing is basically a huge scam that people are very tired of. And now I understand the enthusiasm. Because, you know, here, can you imagine if someone had 10,000 streams of a value for value song? I mean, even at today's low sat level, just streaming, not even boostergrams, you'd be doing pretty good.
You know, I think that this has got to do more with, when I say this, I mean, people coming, getting excited about value, about the value for value and about podcasting 2.0 music. I think it's got more to do with, it's got less to do with money.
And more with appreciation.
Yes. And just the straightforward nature of it.
Yeah.
Like there's no, the lack of games where you just like, okay, you put your music up and then it goes out and people either listen or they don't. There's no brokers in here trying to broker traffic and all that. It's a pure, peer to peer, like creator to listener connection. And so like, if you're for us, like we're on the, you know, like on the top 100 chart, what we've been building here is that I was noticing you could lie and boost and like send a whole bunch of boosts, but you can't lie about the amount. Like right. The sats are what they are. Our Lightning node gets a Lightning transaction. So there were Satoshis there. And you can't pretend that there were more or less. It just is what it is. Right, I mean, like you, the transactions is just what it is. So there's no gamesmanship because there's no way. If you run your own, like in the most pure sense of this, if you run your own node and then you publish your own feed with your own music, you either get paid or you don't.
Right.
There's nobody telling you, oh, well, we paid you off of this amount of streams, but really now we figured out that you had 1,000 less streams. So we're going to take a chunk of your money away.
Right. Like, exactly.
There's no brokerage here.
But besides that, you don't have to get airplay on today's radio stations. Forget about it. First of all these stations are owned by iHeart. You know, so you have to go through the iHeart system if you want to be added. You know, it's like, oh, every Tuesday that's when all the labels and their independent record promoters, if there's still any left, they're calling all the stations. Hey, man, you got to add this record. It's really important. This is great. It's popping and people are talking about it in Idaho. And, you know, this artist is going on tour and there's, you know, stuff that's bubbling under. Add it. And there's only room for a couple of ads. You know, of the 100,000 new songs that come out every week, in reality, that people add to Spotify or whatever, or per month, I mean, it's a huge amount of tracks. There's only so much that you can get added to a limited number of radio stations within your limited format. Imagine, you can't just be putting, your hip-hop record on the country station. You know, so it's all very segmented. They're all in it. They're all in the, it's much worse than I imagined it was. I had no idea how bad this gotten. And I think that probably some of Spotify's podcast business may be working the same way. With fake streams and gosh knows what else.
You made a comment about the being so attached to social media, like you have to have, you know, a million TikTok followers or something like that. I was, John Spurlock yesterday in the podcast index.social had posted a clip from Mark Asquith's podcast where he's lamenting, you know, I don't want to get into it, but he's lamenting how people are so belligerent about a podcast.
He was clearly talking about me.
No, I don't think so. I listened to the whole episode. He excluded you specifically.
Oh, he did because yes. I made a comment. I boosted the new media show. The reason why I thought it was about me is because he said snark. And I had listened to the, I'll get into it for a second anyway. I'd listened to the new music, the new media show, as I do all the time. And Todd wasn't there. It was Rob, and he had someone on. I forget. She was from some podcast company. Mm-hmm. And Rob was doing his shill dance. He's like, well, you know, it's generational that you have to have RSS. People consider YouTube a podcast. And I boosted like, who are you? That was basically, who are you? And it's, let's just separate it out. I don't care what people call a podcast. I'll go on Joe Rogan and I will say, yep, you're a podcast, even though he's not. But if you're in the business, the whole point is to protect what we're doing. And if you're teaching people, oh yeah, YouTube's a podcast. Oh yeah, Spotify is a great place to put your music. You know, you won't be running around in a hamster wheel there. You're doing people a disservice. That's my point. And I forgive Rob, but I get a little irked when he says it's generational, i.e. you're an old fuck. That's what that means. You're generational.
This is the Urban Dictionary. Generational means you're an old fuck.
Forgive my language.
Yes. Well, Mark specifically excluded you. He said about 2/3 of the way through, he said, now I'm not talking about, you know, the podcasting 2.0 people with Adam and Dave, and because doing stuff, they're actually doing stuff, you know, all the time. They're working to make, you know, this better. Like, no, he specifically said, okay. I listened to whole thing.
Okay. Cause I started listening to it and I'm like, I'm just going to get mad. So I turned it off.
Yeah. But I think your point is my point as well, which is, and I think Mark was confusing a whole lot of different topics altogether.
It's also easy to do that when your company's been bought and you're getting a salary. I just point that out. It's a lot easier to talk and to criticize.
Well, one of the points he kept making was if we want this to be an industry, if we want this industry, he kept talking. It sounded like he's talking to industry people.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then I'm sort of the opinion that there actually is no podcast industry. But
I'm with you. There's no industry. Yeah. There's the podcast industrial complex.
Yes.
But there's no industry. I agree.
And that is all. So what happens is people begin to allow the definition of what a podcast is to be changed in order to follow the digital advertising
revenue. The money. Exactly.
If the people in the podcast industrial complex who are responsible for doing these reports and these surveys, you know, and there's a whole ton of them. There's, you know, Edison, Signal Hill Insights, Magellan. I mean,
The people who say it's a $2.3 billion business, which I can't find the money.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many people who are sort of tracking podcasting as if
it's an industry,
that is solely dependent upon digital advertising revenue.
Yeah.
If that's your mindset, if that's your model, that if you're one of these companies and that is your model, that the podcasting consists of media distribution that is supported monetarily by digital advertising revenue. If that's your definition of podcasting, it makes perfect sense to be aggravated when people say that YouTube is not a podcast.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You need that. You need YouTube to be a podcast because you've defined it that way.
Yeah.
But the danger here, and this is what has happened to the music industry.
Exactly.
The music industry is now attached to social media like TikTok in a way it has evolved to have a umbilical cord.
It's a plantation.
Yes. To social media, specifically TikTok, in such a way that the music industry literally cannot survive without social media now.
The guys who used to give the early Stax record, even probably early Motown, I wouldn't want to say Motown, but the early music guys who had the distribution, which was trucks, and who had the recording facilities, who would give their artists a Cadillac, they would have loved what this has become. It is so sophisticated. And I'll bet you the labels, they probably own these scam companies that buy you streams and playlist positions. I wouldn't put it past them at all. Or their cousin or their brother or someone else owns it. It's so sad because, I mean, even if you get some, so forget the fact that you get paid on streams, you have to have 10,000 a month, every month. The fact that a stream is removed
happens to be the same number as what YouTube required for monetization, this 10,000 number.
Isn't that interesting? I think it's also downloads on podcasts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I think it's the same.
Isn't it funny how 10,000 is just...
Yeah.
This arbitrary number that follows everybody around through digital advertising.
How about that? Whereas, I saw it with a relatively new artist, Jeff Smith. Jeff's not a new artist, but Jeff has been around. Jeff is in Nashville. Jeff knows everything. Jeff has seen it all. And he's a performing musician. He does crazy pianos. Sometimes he tours with the band. He drives to, I think, Cleveland. Once every 2 weeks to do like 4 days of crazy dueling pianos there. I mean, he's a working musician. Mm-hmm. Now, when Jeff sees Sats coming in, he knows he's not going to feed his family off what he just got, but he's super excited. He's like, people are listening. I can see this coming in real time. You know, for people who are hearing the pew pew in the background, that's helipad. That's people who are listening and sending Satoshis in real time. That's actually boostergrams. So that it's validation. There you go. There's my term. Validation. I got to write that.
Did
one
you
down.
Just do that I off did. The top of your head?
Validation. I'm writing it down. It's like infotainment, only different. Validation. It makes you feel good. And then when you see, hey, wait a minute, there's, you know, if, and this is the beauty, because there's been many, many, many projects where people put their music up and solicit payments. I think Patreon, you can still do that on Patreon. There's been crowdfunding for albums, all of that. You know, it works, but at scale to be able to create something, this is where podcasting comes in. This is where it happens. There is no competition. Radio guys can't do this. They will not understand it. Radio can't pivot. They're stuck in their ways. The traditional music business, it does not compute to them that people can listen to a song, enjoy music, and not pay for it. Only send value if they want to. It's not in their DNA. It never will be. It never will be. But when you have Ainsley Costello, who, you know, shows up on podcasts and is talking about her music, and they play her music and the wallet switches, and then she's, although I don't think that happened on Pod News Weekly Review, but they only played a little bit. But, you know, that's, now you're talking something that really works.
Well, you sent me a video the other day, I'm trying to remember.
Oh, is that the rap guy?
Yeah, rap guy.
Yeah.
And so he made a comment in there, I don't know if you remember this, where he talked about this phenomenon of rappers that get millions of streams, but they can't sell out a small venue for a live show.
No one shows up at their shows, yeah.
Yeah, and they literally have to cancel the shows because they didn't sell any tickets.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the scam.
We already see this in podcasting, too.
Yep.
Like, you might call it like paper popularity, or they're sequel famous. You know, they're just famous in a database somewhere. They don't actually have the.
I like that.
They don't actually have real ears that care about list. They don't have a real audience,
right,
that will follow them. And that's what happens if an industry gives up its independence. If the podcasting quote unquote industry gives up its independence and lets some and just follows whatever the current definition of digital advertising is.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, it's going to give up its future. It's going to give up its a humongous chunk of revenue and any illusion of control that it ever had over its own destiny.
And they'll be slaves.
Yes.
Slaves.
Yeah, you were just going to plug yourself in to the digital advertising ecosystem, and whichever way that wind blows, it's going to drag you right along with it, and you're going to have no more control over it. None.
But the beautiful thing is, and this is where we can end this argument, is I don't care, because RSS will exist. RSS is you know, it's a like what is that bear? Don't give a crap. Honey badger. Yeah, honey badger. That's what RSS is. And I always love, well, you know, the industry is so young. It's 20 years old. What are you talking about? It's not young. That's code for we're not making money yet. No one's making money. Everyone's losing money. Stop. Stop already.
20 years into television, it already had its own mob and its, you know, yeah. The mafia was already in control. That's 20 years, a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're on the right track, and I'm very excited, and I would love to see the tools coming online. I saw a semi angry email from Todd, which I always love when he gets all, because that means he's doing something. You're like, this is so hard. Yep. This is tight on it. That's to be separate. Let's make it happen. That means Todd is working very hard on trying to get the value time splits working into Blueberry or something.
Pissed off right before they ship.
But just so we can make clear what needs to happen, and I'm so delighted that what seems to be working is people are feeding into Podcast Index. That's what the index is for. The index is supposed to be the neutral place where you can put all the feeds in. And of course, you can download the database and have your own copy and do whatever you want to do. Set up a separate one next to it if you want. It's all fine. So if I'm just going to say Blueberry, just make it easy. If someone played a song in their podcast, because you don't have to be doing a show like Boostagram Ball. Let's just say you're chatting and say, hey, let's play Jeff Smith for a second. You know, like we do on Podcasting 2.0. Mm-hmm. Then all you have to do in the post-production is in your little interface there, go in, say, okay, we played this song, Jeff Smith, and it'll search the podcast index. And you know, with the API on music, medium equals music pops up, you add that and you just put the start time. And then everything else is done. Then you're done. Then you don't have to change anything else. Of course, under the hood, that's where the value time split has to be put into feed. But it's not super hard. That's what SplitKit basically does. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's no step three. I know, I make it sound really easy, but that's what has to be done. And then people will do that. And we're going to create now is the best time to become a podcaster and a best time to get your music podcast value for value enabled. Whether it's on Wavelake or Music Side Project or Dystopia or rssblue.com, or sovereignfeeds.com, you know, all of this stuff. There's so many different ways to do it. And yeah, is it complicated right now? Yeah. But that's what people are simplifying.
Well, music is just, that's just step one. I mean, audiobooks are next.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the podcast hosting companies, I boosted into New Media Show the other day, and I don't think Todd read any boosts on the show.
He only read mine.
during the show on with him and Rob together this past Wednesday?
At the beginning, that's like, oh, Adam's snarky. Okay. He's generational, well, old man.
Well, what I'd written in was that podcast hosting companies, they hold in their hand the RSS is a at its core, RSS is a content distribution mechanism. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is a content delivery method.
Correct.
And it exists right now with a pipeline from podcast hosting companies even if you run it yourself. Podcast hosting companies down to millions of what you would call radio receivers in Adam Curry parlance.
Yes.
The system is already there. It is fully baked. With one tweak of the medium tag, podcast hosting companies have the ability, have in their hands the ability to blow up multiple industries.
Yep. Well, it's not, but it's
immediately.
Let me just say, it's not even blowing up an industry. It's a whole total zig to the zag. You're not even in their, you're not even in their wake. It's not important. You're not competing with them. You're on a whole different level. It's that's why I say it's blue sky, green fields. It's all open. No one's doing this. Nobody. Nobody's doing it. It's so obvious to me.
It's not a blow up. It's a circumvent. Yeah, that's right.
It's totally, oh, we're just going to stand over here. We're over here putting our tents up, putting our little lean tos and our shanties. Yeah, we can see the sky.
It's opting out of this. Existing.
Exactly. And we've proven it. We've proven that it can work. And you know, and within the next few years, we'll see podcasters sustaining on value for value boosts and boostograms and streaming. And I will definitely see it with artists. Definitely.
Did you see, by the way, Spurlock's chart of namespace adoption?
Yeah, that was beautiful. Tell everybody about it. It was a proud little moment for us.
That was great. Let me see if I can find that post. Because
he did a chart of declared namespaces and then namespaces that are actually used in feeds.
Yeah. Yeah. Meaning, and the usage means like, did they just declare it in their header or are they actually using tags?
Right. Right.
And, so you have the iTunes namespace is sort of the benchmark is what he's that is the 100%. So every podcast RSS feed currently in his body of research feeds is using the iTunes namespace. Every feed has it.
And what that means is the RSS feed, just for people who are listening in and don't know what the heck we're talking about, that means the RSS feed is signaling, hey, there's special functionality in here in this RSS feed that is inherent to iTunes. And because it's iTunes and podcasting, it really blew up with iTunes and the iPod. Pretty much everybody uses all these tags since it was compatible with Apple.
Mm-hmm. And if you break it down, obviously iTunes is going to be on the number one there. That's not a surprise. But if you break it down a little bit further, if you say Atom namespace is pretty much declared by default in most content in most CMSs because you get it has been that way for a long time because you get certain features what you're doing is you're overlaying the Atom ability to do links and stuff onto RSS. So that got adopted years and years ago. You see that in all of RSS. That's not specific to podcasting in any way.
No, that was
WordPress does it.
Yeah. Atom was actually a group, which I think was Microsoft related. I'm thinking who looked at RSS and went, no, that's not right. We need to make it complicated.
I thought it was Google.
It might have been Google. Yeah. But we have to make it more complicated and all these weird features. And so they competed with RSS. And I would say RSS arguably won.
And that's it's very much the same. So the top, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So the top six are iTunes, Atom, the content namespace, the Dublin Core namespace, Anchor, and the podcast namespace. So declared use, over 25% of podcast feeds are now declaring the podcast namespace.
Wow.
To me, that's giant.
Within a couple of years from zero? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And so then Atom is in there by default. The same, the content namespace, it's declared a lot, but it's actually not used.
Not used, right.
As much as it used to be, because Apple used to recommend that for the content, just really only for one purpose, is for to get the content encoded tag.
Right.
And that was for show notes.
Right.
So that's an old recommendation that is just, it continues to exist in a lot of CMSs. Dublin Core, very similar to Atom. It's been around for many, many, many years. It's a standard RSS namespace. It doesn't have much to do with podcasting.
Right. Yes.
So next to iTunes, the first namespace you get to that really has anything specific to do with podcasting is Anchor. And it's a specific proprietary thing. And the only reason it makes a blip on this radar is because Anchor pumps out a bazillion junk feeds all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Crap feeds.
So I'm tossing that out because that one's not. You don't exist to me, Anchor.
You don't exist. You're dead to me.
You're dead to me. So I can make a great case that as far as like podcast specific namespace adoption, we're number two.
Yeah.
We're right behind iTunes, baby.
Oh yeah. But it's not a competition. This is my entire point. It's like rankers, all this stuff. It doesn't matter. We only have 15,000 value enabled feeds. Look at the money that's flowing around. Look at the value. Look at the blips and the pings and the bloops and the integration, the interop between all these things. That's what matters.
This makes me happy because it obviates the argument of, well, we're not going to adopt it until we see it gain some traction.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's off the board now.
Yeah, it is. Except for the people who are afraid of it, who want control, who want to maintain control and don't want the Wild West coming into their publicly listed company. And that's Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, etc. And I don't think they'll ever let it in.
Drib Scott said, foam finger number two.
Hey, should we bring our guests in? Because they're just sitting here listening to us yap away, and they've got some interesting things that they've been working on.
Yep.
And I just realized that I don't even know one of our guests' last name, but since he lives in a shack in the woods, maybe that's intentional. I'd like to say hello to, from RSS.com, Alberto Batella, and from IPVestPodcasting.com, we have Cameron. No last name.
Hey guys.
Last name redacted.
Yeah. Developer.
I have something specific though. I have declared that you live in the forest. Adam said you live in the woods. And what do you say?
I'm on the edge of a national forest. So I'm just,
yes,
really in
the forest,
yeah, but that's not the point. Do you live in a shack? Do you have like a Ted Kaczynski like shack is the question.
No, it's bigger than a 12x12, but it's just a retirement place.
A retirement place?
It's a villa.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, right. Alberto lives in a villa. That's,
yes.
Not yet, but I have a question for Cameron, because we spoke so much on through email. Cameron, when I heard your voice the first time a couple of weeks ago with Sam Seti in the interview, when you said you were retired, I would imagine you being very old, but you seem young. You sound young.
Yeah.
So I'm puzzled.
I call it involuntary retirement.
Okay.
You know, back in, 2000 with the IT bubble and...
Oh, he made money. There you go. Nice. That's nice.
So maybe independently wealthy.
You have a villa. Maybe you have a villa.
Yes. No, that's when I lost the money. I lost it all.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's a 12x12 shack, and outside it has a sign on it that says villa. It's the money. Yeah.
I like that, Cameron. You're like me. It's like we made all this money and then we blew it all on something stupid. And me, it was hookers and blows and helicopters, castles. You know, I had a good time. I spent it all.
Wow. Well, me, it was just the
believe me, it's not worth it. It's way overhyped. So, now, Alberto, are you in Spain?
Yes, I'm in Spain.
Okay. Well, thank you for staying up late with us this evening.
No worries.
So you guys have been working together, and something kind of exciting happened. Cameron started IPFSpodcasting.net a while ago, and all of a sudden he came up with some some scheme. I'm still not sure how it worked. And you already set up a node. So I'll let you guys speak for yourselves about how you all connected and started doing this. And IPFS, for people who don't know, is the Interplanetary File System. We've talked about this ever since we started Podcasting 2.0 as a possible hosting solution. There was always an issue that popped up or something didn't work. And I think Dave and I would revisit it from time to time. They had a file coin that was attached to it, and it just all became kind of icky, but the IPFS basics were still out there. I'm on the newsletter, so I always see it coming in. But then Cameron somehow hooked in a payment scheme with Lightning, so that when someone hosts or pins a podcast on their node, they can participate in some of the value flow, which was mind-boggling and really works. There's some minor issues, but maybe Cameron, if you wouldn't mind giving us the backstory to what you set up, how long ago this was, and how you and Alberto started to work together.
Yeah, it'll be almost 3 years this fall, I think, that I started it. I was trying to figure out a use for IPFS. I know a lot of people wanted to back up their websites and, files and things like that, but it was just so unstructured. So podcasting, like you talk about RSS, it seemed like it was structured perfectly that I could know what I'm getting into, as far as importing the feeds and knowing what the files would be. I went with that, and Alberto saw it right away, and he's like, this is great. We should all be sharing this, trying to donate our bandwidth, to help hosting. So
now, Alberto,
that's how it started.
Alberto, you're in the hosting business. You charge people for hosting. So what drove you to be a part of this?
I can explain. Are we in the hosting business? That's a question. I think that we are defined as hosting platforms, but that's really commoditized, in my opinion. So that's something we have been thinking for a while. When you check the Podscape from Magellan, for example, we are defined hosting platforms. You guys were talking about hosting a couple of weeks ago and how bandwidth is expensive. I think even Todd sent a message talking about how much he spends every month for bandwidth.
Yeah, like 20 or 30 grand or something, humongous amount.
Yeah, 30 plus. So the reason why I saw it right away, or at least I wanted, or we as in RSS.com wanted to offer some resources to Cameron. And so a big node, a dedicated EC2 instance on AWS that he's actually maintaining. So it's very nice because we offered the resource, but Cameron is using it. I believe Cameron also for some tests when needed. So the point is, we don't feel this would jeopardize the hosting industry, because at least for RSS.com, our business model is not based on excess bandwidth. We feel we offer a set of tools for publishers. We are working with AI now, thinking about the next level of features. And when I think about hostings, it's such an old concept. And think about Wix and Squarespace. Yeah. Why nobody says they're hosting? They're hosting. Of course, they're hosting your assets if you upload an image on Squarespace, but nobody cares. They're publishing tools. So the reason why we are interested in IPFS, we see the potential even more now with the value for value splits. But even before, it would be a way to decentralize hosting, to really rely on CDNs, which we still need because of their redundancy and reliability, but just for a fallback. So it was very natural to me, and I was puzzled, because you, for example, Dave, you were a bit skeptical a few times. You mentioned over the past year until recently, I don't know if it works, but for me, it was really right away. I thought we need to explore this, and we are very, very excited about what it can become.
I think
it makes sense.
Yeah. This is very interesting because I've always seen the hosting business as a heavy overhead of money for the bandwidth. Actually, storage, I think, is always underestimated how large that can grow. I know storage becomes cheaper and cheaper every year, but I've always seen it as a very intense human business for education and teaching. And of course, the better your tools are, the easier they are to understand, the less you have to, less handholding you have to do. I think, Dave, the reason we kind of got disinterested in IPFS is because we were trying to distribute the database, the weekly database, and it kept breaking.
Yeah. So we, for a long time, we distributed, probably for over a year or more, we distributed the database only on IPFS. Like it wasn't even, it was not even available for as an HTTP download. And so then I had to add the HTTP download later because the IPFS, I just kept getting so many emails of people saying, I can't, it's not working. The IPFS download is not working. And so we were, then we ran them in parallel for a long time. And the IPFS daemon on our VM at Linode just kept breaking. It just kept, I had to eventually write a script that would resurrect that process, you know, like ever try to resurrect it every 5 minutes because it was just going down multiple times a day. And that was so, like, that was where my sort of disenchantment with it came from. But I think, like, that was, and I really am starting to think that that had more to do with the size of the file. Because what was, we were hosting, you know, a gigabyte file size download. If you're only talking about smaller assets, like podcast size, it's probably not nearly as taxing on a system, I would think. And the other thing is, like, I feel like it makes more, I agree with you, Alberto. I think hosting companies, I think it's just an unfortunate relic of the past that podcast hosts are still called hosting companies. I don't think that the value that you guys offer comes from the fact that you provide bandwidth. I think most of the, like 99% of the value that the hosting companies provide is tooling. Nobody goes in and says, I need to build a website. Where can I get the best bandwidth? I mean, like, nobody asks that question. It's just not even, it never comes up in somebody's mind. Everybody's like, the question you ask is who's got the best, you know, interface? Who's got the best content management system?
Stats, really the best stats. Who's got the best stats?
It's all that stuff. I mean, where the bandwidth, you know, every podcast hosting company would love to get rid of their bandwidth bill. I mean, that's the thing that they hate the most. You know, what's fun and what's the real competitive landscape is who has the best tools for a particular, you know, brand or sector or podcaster or whatever. That's really where the competition is.
Yeah. And Dave, I think the distributed part might be what got you. You were the only node hosting that file?
Yes.
I've noticed my first iteration of this was, I was thinking, I only need two nodes per file because that'll get me consensus, you know, that both nodes match, and that's all I'll ever need. But that wasn't true. You know, once I started adding more nodes, you know, I don't know, about 10 or 15 nodes, then the playback would work better and better. And now, you know, with the value splits, everybody wants to, you know, host Boosted Grand Ball and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's no problems. You know, if you got 50 nodes with the file, it'll find it, you know. So your one node, I think, was the problem.
Yeah, because at that point, it's really no different than just serving it over HTTP. I mean, it's just
right.
A straight download.
So
right, you're just serving the file.
This is really interesting. So is Stephen Bell basically in competition with RSS.com?
I don't know. What do you think?
How about this? I'll say yes, because he has all the tools I need. And now I have my own bandwidth, but I successfully used IPFS for Boosted Grand Ball. And I don't pay him. I pay him a split. I give him a split for everything I do.
In that sense, it could be a competitor. But again, it really depends on the needs of the user. You may be labeled as a pro user.
Oh yeah, I'm a very bad customer to have, because I will text you at 11 p.m. and say shit doesn't work. Come on, man, fix it.
Yeah, but think about the majority of people. They, you know, we said before RSS is a content delivery method, but most of the people, the long tail, the creators that are starting, and even professional podcasters, they don't want to write RSS feeds. No. They don't want to make syntax errors. They want a GUI. They want a graphical user interface.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm in total agreement with you. I mean, so, and I love that you think this way, because this is, you know, Stephen Bell, I have told Stephen Bell many times, no, do not get into the hosting business. But it was never for the bandwidth. It was always, you don't have the physical human bandwidth to hold everybody's hand all day long. Because yeah, there's such support. A huge, not even support. I mean, I think if your tools are good, the support kind of takes care of itself, but it's the education part. You know, I mean, this is why all the hosting companies go to all of the podcast conferences. They're not necessarily part of the podcasting industrial complex, but that's where they can talk to people and educate them. You know, it's like, oh, here's how it works here. You know, but people are new. They don't know what to do, or they have questions, or they don't understand the difference between one tool and the other tool. And that's do you mind if I ask Alberto, how many people do you have in customer support, or is it all just you?
Oh, no. We have Michael, who is the head of CX, customer experience. We like to call it experience. And then we have four people. In wow. different countries. Yeah, so we have five people. So one, on the one hand, customer support is really important. And it's the one of the added values. But again, also publishing tools like transcripts and other features we are building in the backstage. Mm-hmm. These are part of the unique service proposition. How many people are using Sovereign Feeds? I don't know the number. But these are a specific niche of users, and that's why it works so well, because targets and caters to those users. But if you want the long tail, or you want to make sure everyone has the opportunity to start a podcast, that's where a product that's extremely simple can work. And that's why hosting and bandwidth, it's secondary to us. It may not be for other companies that have been in the business since 2006 or earlier than us, but we never designed our company to rely where our revenue would rely on excess bandwidth or bandwidth in general.
Wow. So, Alberto, let me ask you, what specifically is it that you are hosting? Are you hosting an IPFS node? Or a gateway?
A node. I wish we had a gateway. It was a great conversation in your last episode. Gateways should be probably, there should be a dedicated gateway for IPFS, IPFS podcasting. Absolutely. Just a node. So the node is running the Python code that Cameron provides. With the only difference from other nodes that we just put some money and put a terabyte of data there or storage, and it's now hosting. At the moment, it has more than 700 peers hosting. I'm not sure how many episodes, but we have up to 350 gigabyte of storage that are delivering. They help to deliver IPFS podcasting shows.
So let's talk.
Cameron, did they forget anything?
Sorry. No, last I checked, you had about 6,000 episodes on there.
It's not bad.
You're supporting the whole podcast industry.
That's why he's been a godsend, because, you know, the nodes, they come and go, but his has been there the whole time. So there have been times when, you know, I lose a bunch of nodes and, like, thank God Alberto was there, because he's got most of the files.
Well, I find this fascinating for this reason, that RSS.com, their node is hosting shows from other podcast hosting companies.
Right.
That's great. I love that. That's fantastic.
Is this something in that sense? Is this something, Alberto, that the podcast standards group could do? Could they encourage their members to spin up a IPFS podcasting node?
So we could do that, but we never spoke about IPFS at least not yet. We speak on the main conversation is about podcasting 2.0 tags adoption and how together we can move the industry towards innovation. Yes, it could be some conversation we should have. At the moment, just to be very clear, we host these episodes, and for us is an R&D project. Perhaps with Cameron, one of the first conversation to me. So my original, perhaps my naive vision at the time was, if we want to offer free hosting, then you can pay for publishing tools or for transcripts, for AI summarization. But if we want to offer free hosting, how cool would it be to have a client that you install in your computer? And everyone participates to IPFS podcasting. So if you want your show hosted for free, then you have this client running and you just...
Yeah, you participate in the network.
Yes.
Yeah.
So okay. We were discussing this.
All right. So now let's get to what I think is the interim step, and maybe it's not, which is the gateway. And so now, when I started Boostagram Ball, I decided to go balls to the wall. I'm going to throw this thing on IPFS right out of the gate. And out of the gate, it worked. It worked perfectly. It works beautifully. The last week, I started to get let me just step back for a second. James Cridlin appropriately said that really what's happening is all this is going through the IPFS Labs gateway, ipfs.io, and which means they can shut stuff off. In fact, there was an episode of something, I can't remember what it was, Cameron, you might. It was one episode of No Agenda. One episode had been blocked by ipfs.io, and they unblocked it when you emailed them. But that's kind of the problem, is that they blocked it. So, you know, everyone's kind of like, well, anything can be blocked at any moment. And then just the nature of one gateway has been blocked by some networks somewhere. Certainly some corporate networks are like, oh, no, anything coming off of this IPFS.io has got to be, you know, like basically treating it like a torrent site, which... I think something else may have been added because I got a couple of reports in the past week. I can't play it. And then, you know, like I send them a direct link that goes through the redirector. Oh, that works. But then it doesn't work on any of the apps. You know, I don't know if there's cores issued. I don't know all of that stuff. But when you get four or five people saying it doesn't work, then all of a sudden it's like, that seems like 5,000 to me. It's not. And you did a wonderful report. And you broke it all down. It's probably really only four or five people out of the 6,000 maybe that downloaded it. But is the gateway the final step? And, you know, taking into consideration, we might be able to do the splits in a way that the gateways get more money or more value from the value for value splits, or should really all the apps be IPFS native? Is that something that's even possible? These are all the questions I have.
Yeah, I think the ultimate would be to native IPFS, because they could grab straight from the nodes currently, you know, and there wouldn't be any way to block it. But that seems pretty difficult as far as getting it on Android and iOS.
Why? Why is that difficult?
Jason at Podcast Guru was trying it. And he was having issues where, I guess it used a lot of resources running a node on your phone. And then he had to download the entire file before he could hand it off to the audio system.
Oh, so you get a huge delay.
To play it.
Yeah.
So you couldn't stream it. You'd have to download the whole thing before you started playing. So I don't know if there's a workaround for that yet.
There's no way to just have a light node that just... understands the IPFS protocol? I guess not. I guess I'm asking things that people have thought of.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, you've got to talk that protocol. You know, you've got to get your peers going and have enough peers so you can discover the files, you know, because I don't know, there's thousands of peers out there.
I mean, that's the same problem that Breeze runs into with running an LND node on the phone. Is
you know, right? Okay,
keeping those channels open.
Okay,
right. So the gateways are the backup. You know, so we can use HTTP. So it'd be nice to have volunteer gateways that could convert from IPFS to HTTP.
So I've asked Void Zero to set up a gateway or gateways on the servers that I have, which he's still working on, I guess. Is there now, is there a way to reward gateway nodes for being a gateway?
Yeah, I guess anything's possible. We were trying to figure out how to decide which gateway gets paid, you know, so when a boost comes in, you want to send the portion of that boost to the right gateway, you know, if you have multiple gateways.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So currently, I don't know who's using it. Right now, everybody's using IPFS.io, but if there were multiple gateways sharing the load, I'd have to know where to send that payment.
Well, if I had a conversation on the phone with Alex Gates a few days ago, and we were kind of hashing some of this stuff out, trying to come up with ideas on how to do that. And his, you know, I think, you know, he posted some stuff on the Mastodon about it. And, you know, our two sort of, well, I guess you have three, you kind of sort of have three methods. You know, you could put multiple gateways in the RSS feed. The problem there is, you could like imagine all this is in like the alternate enclosure. You could have multiple gateways defined in, let's just say, five random gateways described in there. And then, you know, you'd have fallbacks. You try one. If it doesn't work, try the next one, whatever. So you could do that. But then you have the problem of having to keep the RSS feed current. And, you know, if
gateways one goes away,
go offline. Yeah. So then you could have you know, the other option would be to do some, you know, do like a redirect, but then have a response header that says like the IPFS gateway that ends up responding out of like a round robin or something like that could respond with could give a response header say, you know, with the wallet address in there, so that if you successfully download it from there, you could send sats back. That would be one way. And we had a third way that he came up with, and I can't remember off the top of my head. What are your thoughts on that, Cameron?
Well, I think I can do it with the TLV record. For some reason, Alex is mad at me or doesn't like me.
I think that's just Alex. I don't think you should take that personally.
Well, I'm sure it's a source code issue. He wants to view the source for the algorithms and all that stuff. The prefix, you know, that you use now, it determines, you know, where you're, if the file exists and who has it and all that stuff. So, I mean, I could use that to figure out which gateway and do the round robin through the prefix. The only issue with the payment is the boost coming back. I need to, like, you know, I was thinking of having the domain of the host. So if RSS.com has a gateway, when the player sends the boost back, they'll say, well, I was playing this via RSS.com. Then that would come back to the IPFS split. I would know to go send that boost to the RSS.com.
Trying to see
I have a question there.
Good.
Cameron, statistics and analytics. Would there be a way for gateways to share analytics so that you can have an overview as a podcaster running or distributing your show through IPFS? Because that's what always concerned me a bit. If I have a concern, is analytics you can extrapolate from IPFS.
Yeah, that's an issue because you're only going to see the plays that go through your gateway. You're not going to see the other gateways.
Isn't that where Spurlock comes in? Because we've been using Spurlock basically for the stats for these shows, right? With his redirect.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Spurlock, he's got everything because he's getting the redirect before it comes to IPFS podcasting. So he has all the data. And then I'm storing some data too.
I love this, by the way. Can I just stop for a second and just realize that here we are, four guys who have never met each other in person, while Dave and I have met. There's people all over the world who are working on this. And look at how we're doing. This is so cool. And then, oh yeah, Spurlock, he's got the data. I love this. I just got a little goosebumps for a second here. You know, like, the no offense to the podcast working group, Pod Standards Working Group, but dude, look at what we're doing here in the boardroom. This is amazing.
Open source, man.
Yeah, Alberto, if you wanted to duplicate something like Spurlock, you know, you'd have your own prefix for stats for your hosts or your podcasts. Then you would be able to see everything.
Yeah, that's the point. Perhaps if there was a prefix from IPFS Podcasting, then everything would be centralized, and then you could offer the stats through, you know, JSON or an API. Something must be centralized, I guess, meaning, for example, we run everything through a Python script you offer, and you still keep track of who has what, correct? So if that's the case, why don't you build the prefix? This way you can also get back the stats. I'm not saying in the short term, but like the long term, for this to be a viable solution, wouldn't it make sense?
Yeah, I'd be duplicating what Spurlock's doing, but yeah, that's basically
why don't we just get whatever Spurlock is? Why don't we just get it from John?
His stuff's open source.
Yeah,
right.
It's there.
Yeah. So let's see here. I found Alex's post. So he said, move for putting the gateway URLs. Knowledge enclosure. Let's see. And it said, he said, oh, this is what it was. So the other option, the third option, would be to have the gateway that's chosen have like a dot well known URL, so that you could have, so that you could query the gateway and know. This is what we did with NoAgendaTube in the early days. So with NoAgendaTube, Alex got all the podcasting 2.0 support in there. Their RSS stuff in PeerTube was pretty limited. So what we did was he created a dot well known URL on NoAgendaTube where it just had a JSON version of a wallet. It specified in that JSON the fee, essentially. So you could query the URL of whatever domain name you had, FQDN you had, and see what their fee was. So I could see it being the same way here. You could just query the dot well known and find out what this IPFS gateway's fee is, and just use, you know,
wow.
You could bury up the algorithms.
That's sophisticated. I like that idea.
You choose the cheapest one or the, you know, one that's the most reliable or whatever. I mean, that's an option.
Right. But who makes the payment? Then the player would be making the payment, right? That's not a part of the IPFS split. That'd be a separate split.
Right. Yeah. For the player. Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm.
And then another question, Adam, with who defines the fee? Just
God. The gateway does? God. Jesus. Jesus determines that. I mean, that's the free market. You know, the free market determines that. Isn't that the beauty of it? Like, if you can have competing nodes, and just like Dave said, you know, it's like, well, this one's reliable, or this one is fast, or this one's, you know, my buddy, or whatever it is, you know, then the fee comes into place. Well, what does that cost? I mean, I'm less worried about that. About who determines, when you say who determines the fee, I'm presuming the node operator, the gateway operator, determines the fee. I think that, is that your question? Because that can't really be determined because it's coming from the app.
Well, currently, the way I understand it, all the splits are defined by the podcaster. You decide how much you want to pay.
Right.
You know, to IPFS or to Steven or whoever. So, if a gateway comes by and says, well, I want 10%, is that coming out of yours? You know, or then are we doing the fee thing where you add it to this?
That's why the fee thing exists.
Yeah.
Because there's a recognition here that there's there's going to be costs. If for certain services that are provided, there's going to be costs that are fixed that can't, they can't be sort of like bartered in real time. So you have like for bandwidth, if you have people providing it, they've got this fixed cost. So they have to do like a fee instead of a pay what you want type scenario. It's more binary. So they're like, well, I mean, I can either serve you this file and it's going to cost this, or I can't because I'm having to pay somebody upstream.
Okay.
But
Cameron, wow. Let's back away for the enthusiasm on that one.
At the moment with nodes, Cameron, you choose the fee, right? We put our wallet and we just, you explain how you split, but we cannot say, you know, I want X percent or I cannot specify a value. So why not starting for Gateway with a similar rationale and maybe with an algorithm or just some rules given on how many episodes you serve and some other criteria, you increase or decrease the fee? It wouldn't be easier.
Well, the fee right now is optional. You don't have to.
Yeah, I think he's talking about split. The split that you do, the IPFS
split. The split. I mentioned. So if you have, you explained that if you get a certain number of sats, certain value, then the nodes get, I think it's a 5% split for IPFS podcasting, right? And then this is distributed to the nodes. So why not doing something like this with the gateway?
The 5% is optional. If the podcaster gives a 5% or 10% or 1%, I take whatever I get and then I just divide it up.
Right.
And install the node.
And that's what I'm saying. I would start like that. That's proportional to whatever is the boost.
Okay. Yeah, that was my thought too, was to say, like, if you say 1%, if you want to say half of whatever I get goes to the gateway and the other half goes to the nodes.
There you go. Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I think that too. And then moving forward, I would say, I mean, the way I view it is, if you want IPFS podcasting hosting, then it has to be a minimum of X. This is, you know, now, for instance, if I want... If I want all my boostograms to show up on Fountain, I have to put in minimum of 1% split so that they receive that. It goes to my account over there, which is kind of interesting because it actually comes back to me. But the service I envision moving forward will say, well, you want this service. If it's not this amount, if it's not this number of split, then the service doesn't work for you. I mean, I don't see any problem with that. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I like the idea that it's optional just to onboard people to test it out.
Of course.
Without forcing them to
split.
And again, the gateway part. You know, if I say whatever I get, I'm going to give half to the gateway. The gateway is not deciding how much they need. It's whatever the podcaster defines as a split. And then half of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it ends up being.
I'll tell you what, why don't we all take a little breather? I'd like to bum rush the chart for a moment and play a song so we all can just collect our thoughts. And also, once again, demonstrate the magical wallet switching technology with a song that I think is perfect for a Friday for a boardroom. When I was in radio, we used to have a song that we play. There'd be a number of songs that we play every Friday at 5 o'clock. You do the 5 o'clock whistle, and then you play. Just like five. You know, take this job and shove it, and then, you know, all these different work quitting songs for it's time for the weekend.
One of
them was Todd Rundgren's. I don't want to work. I want to play bang on the drum all day.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear it on every bad top 40 radio station still, I'm sure. So I wanted to play a value for value podcasting version of that Todd Rundgren song, which was done by a guy named John Ross. And I think he did a perfect, perfect version. And use your CurioCaster or Live Kit to boost this song if you don't mind. Work Sucks, John Ross on 2.0. I get up every morning before the sun. I sure as hell ain't having any fun. I go to work and I labor all day just so I can go home with my gross pay. Work sucks. Yeah, work sucks. Another day, another dollar. All my coworkers whine and my manager hollers. I gotta find a way out of here. Round up my buddies and go grab a beer. Cause work sucks. Yeah, I hate my job. Work sucks. Yeah, the guys there are snobs. Work sucks. Get so sick of the grind. Work sucks. I'm getting so tired of this 9-to-5. I can't wait for the weekend to arrive. I'm gonna find me something else to do so I can spend more time alone with you. Another day, another dime. I'm just sitting here biding my time until the day I can leave this place. Gotta get out of this rat race. Work sucks. Yeah, I hate my job. Work sucks. Yeah, the guys there are swabs. Work sucks. I think I'm losing my mind. Work sucks. I'm getting so tired of this 9-to-5. I can't wait for the weekend to arrive. I'm gonna find me something else to do so I can spend more time home alone with you. Overworked and underpaid, underappreciated, feel like a slave. I can't take any more of the stress. How the hell did I get into such a crappy mess? Work sucks. Yeah, I hate my job. Work sucks. I mean, oh my God, work sucks. Yeah, my boss is a jerk. Work sucks. He's driving me berserk. Work sucks. When it's cold outside, work sucks. Really traps my hide. Work sucks. Think I've had enough. Work sucks. It's time for me to get tough. Work sucks. Oh, John Ross, work sucks. Thank you, Sir Spencer, Dreb Scott, Mr. Robot, Mike Newman for boosting through CurioCaster so you know that when they played the track, the artist gets the sats. Beautiful. And everyone's dead.
Oh, no, I don't know how to work this thing yet. I muted myself and didn't understand how to get it out. Having physical buttons is screwing me up.
It's weird. I gotta give you a little tutorial. There's all kinds of cool stuff you can do. Don't worry. It's you're gonna love it. You're gonna love that that Roadcaster. You're gonna love it.
Yeah, I was talking away. Nobody heard me.
So just before we get back to the IPFS stuff, Dave, TLVs, yes. And what, because we need some, we need our apps, our beautiful brothers and arms of the apps to be doing some stuff to their TLVs for regular podcasts. And then I'm not even sure if we can talk about boosting songs while we're lit. Because that's a whole nother can of worms, but, please tell us what our apps need to be sending so we can really crank up the discovery mechanism of podcastindex.top.
Yeah, so I think I'm working with the app developers individually. Okay. Like I'm posting, if I see something that's needed, I'm just going through there one by one. And like Oscar, he's already, I posted some stuff to him. He's like, yeah, I got it. We're good to go.
Okay.
Franco at Castomatic, he's good. I think he's good to go now. He knows what is needed. Sam Sethi over at PodFans. We exchanged a few emails and he's and gave him some examples and he's like, "Yep, got it. We're good to go. I understand now." So I think we're in good shape.
Oh, okay.
I think
good.
It's just a matter of now. You know, so we just have to wait for it to sort of play out through the like beta and all that, mm-hmm. you know, test flights and all these things to get it working. No, I think we're good. And so I finished the sequel, stuff on the charting. And oh my gosh, it's so much faster. The chart builds in about 3 minutes. So it,
wow, that's cool.
Way faster. Yeah. Versus 45. I rebuilt it right before the show. So I see it.
I sent you a note to change the wording at the top. There's a little discrepancy there.
Okay. I took out all of that big paragraph.
Yeah. No, the only thing is, this says this chart is a ranking of the music podcasts that have been boosted the most over the last 7 days. Well, technically it's the music played on podcasts that have been boosted. Yeah. So just so people understand what but I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun to see Fletcher and Blaney, who have a tremendous audience, very dedicated. They're all over this chart.
They are. And just the name, having this name of a song be Battle Trance. I mean, that's just a great name for a song.
We just want to see that on the chart. And I love the layout. Thank you, Nathan Garthright. That's really, you did a great job on that. And I love that the top 100 actually is like 115. Yeah. That just makes so much sense. That's who we are.
It's 100-ish.
I'm going to call that the top 100.
J. Raffle, beer Root Rag. That one is always dead last every time.
Banjo music, man. It's banjo music.
It's like it doesn't matter how many times I run the chart. It is always dead last, but it's like it's just hanging in there, caboose. I love it.
We have Cameron and Alberto here in the boardroom. Cameron, if you could push all the buttons, man, what would you want to have happen? Visualize for you? Materialize?
Oh, I don't know. I've got a big list of things I need to work on. Okay. Alberto knows the algorithm has been
Why don't you give a heads up on the algorithm, Cameron? It's so interesting.
Yeah, I even figured it out myself.
But it sounds like the music chart.
Yeah. So, but what the algorithm is about and how to find the most optimal way of storage and I think it's extremely compelling.
Well, I've got all these nodes asking for something to do. Like, what do I work on? So I've got to come up. You know, well, I'd have come up with a way to tell them, you know, okay, you should pin this show first or this one next, or, you know, based on your favorites or your disk space available. And Alberto, in the beginning, he was asking, well, I want to host everything. So just use up all my disk and just keep shuffling through files. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it, too, is trying to figure out how to, you know, if somebody just sets a percentage of their disk, say, I want to use 50% of my disk or 80%.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
So what is the algo, Cameron? What is it currently?
Currently, it's just looking at your favorites and looking at expiration dates, because I've got that 48-hour option for if there's no favorites, that it'll stay on IPFS as long as it gets plays, and once the plays go away, then it'll get unpinned from all the nodes. Mm. So
that's really
smart. I don't know how to explain. You're asking, what is it? It's a mess of code. So,
yeah,
that's part of the.
No, I feel you. Yeah. I feel you. It gets that way with algorithms sometimes, where you just kind of step back and you're like, you know what? I know something's happening here, but I'm not really exactly sure what it is.
I forgot how I did that.
Yeah. I know what I thought. I know what I was thinking at the time, but I'm not sure it's actually doing what I thought it was going to do.
Yeah. Another big problem for me right now is consensus between all the nodes to make sure they all have the exact same file.
Oh, yeah.
So when someone has a podcast with dynamic ads, you know, what do you do?
Man, I never thought about that. How do you handle
the
that?
The nodes kind of get in fights. The nodes are fighting back and forth and say, no, this is the file.
Right. So this is the wrong hash. This is,
right.
Oh, man. I got a Spanish ad the other day. Well, this is a new media show. I'm like, you racist. Just because I'm in Texas, just because I'm in Hill Country, Texas, doesn't mean I speak Spanish.
Well, they'll start serving those in New York soon.
Yeah, right. And Russian, all kinds of stuff.
In Russian, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so until I get a better algorithm going, I'm, you know, every day I'm kind of tweaking the database every morning to see which files are stuck or which nodes are stuck in a loop.
How does it get resolved? So if my node gets a copy of this episode that has a dynamic ad and Adam's node gets one and they don't match, how do you resolve that?
Then one of you guys have to be declared invalid. So right now I'm just saying, well, Adam got it later, so Dave's must be different. Mm. Oh, okay. So I tell you to delete yours, and then I might tell you to go get yours from Adam.
Wow.
And then there's the issue with the nodes and the peer counts that you might not be able to talk to Adam's node directly.
No, on purpose. I don't want Dave talking to my node. Right. Get away from my node.
So sometimes there might be a weak node out there that gets a file and it can't share it. And you know, it's the only one with the file right now, you know, when you're first pinning. So then I've got to go in and kind of kick that node out so he doesn't have the file so another node can get it. And I've kind of secretly, Alberto, I've been using your node because you got a good node. I'm like, okay, send that one to Alberto's node.
Because I know people can
connect
now.
To him. Yeah.
But that's my point. So, Cameron, sorry. Then go ahead.
No, go ahead.
My point was that when I think about a node, it doesn't use a CDN. It doesn't use CloudFront, for example. So in our case, you have an AWS EC2 instance. And when you create an instance, you have to choose the storage, like solid state drive, how much do you want? And you pay monthly for the storage. Then you pay for data transfer. So let's say we have a terabyte and now we are using 38% of those. That was my feeling of, why we are paying for a terabyte, just fill it in. Now, how you fill it in, it depends. We have to favorite some shows. For example, we have 37.6 gigabyte of no agenda. I was reading now. We have 10.5 gigabyte of podcasting 2.0. But for those shows where we are open to host, for example, those shows that are verified, that they don't have the log tag activated, because IPF is very important to explain. IPFS podcasting honors the log tag as well. So for those shows, we would be willing to host them for a while or forever without having to favorite. So as long as a show is, let's say, safe to host, so we know there is the consensus from the podcaster, then why not filling up our terabyte? And then when it's filled up, there should be an algorithm that says, okay, we need more space from that node. What do we free? Which are the episodes that we remove? I think that's where my standpoint was. Just we are paying 1 terabyte and we are filling it in only partially. That's all. That's where it came from.
Yeah, it's like buying a box with 200 gigs of RAM and your database only uses 16. So you want to get your money's worth. Yeah.
Right.
And that's where I think the algorithm would make the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to check in with Void Zero again and ask him where he's at with the gateway, because I want to get that up as soon as possible. We don't have a bandwidth issue. We can certainly help with, I think, pretty much everybody, because, you know, we have very specific bandwidth uses. It's very periodic. You know, we get these huge bursts twice a week and that's kind of it. And everything else is just sitting there. So we'd love to be the gateway and the one you can experiment on and figure it all out. You know, all this stuff. You know, we don't require payment to do the experimentation. Let's just get it rolling. I just want to get it away from IPFS.io because I'm worried about that. I just don't want everyone to jump in and be like, oh, it's great. And then, you know, it's my, the same fear I have of Albi, you know, when Albi goes down, because they will, everyone's going to cry. You know, hopefully it won't be too long, but these things happen. So, you know, but when it's within our group, that's different because, you know, one posting and Moore says, yeah, we got some crap going on. All right, good. We're cool. Figure it out. But if it's IPFS.io, we don't, you know, we don't have that kind of relationship with them.
Right. That's a good okay. point. Well, that's a good first step because it would be easy just to replace IPFS.io with your gateway.
Yes.
And then I could send you the 1% because you're the only one using it. Eventually, I want to have, just like you run a node now, that you could run a gateway. So there'd be multiple gateways.
Yeah. I mean, I have five gigabit fiber to my home. That's literally sitting here. Let's fill that thing. And it's synchronous. I have five up and five down. You know, I'm happy to fill that pipe up. Oh, yeah. $100 a month, baby. Go Texas.
Yeah. So when there's multiple gateways, that's when we run into who do you pay, you know, so... But before that, before we figure that out, yeah, we could switch over to your gateway.
Which is, I mean, but even that, don't worry about the payment part. First, let's make sure we can get the gateway working, switch it over. Then you can start experimenting with all that stuff. And there's plenty of people who have nodes who will, you know, be happy to set up gateways if you have something baked into the code.
Right. Yeah, the payment part. I think would be easy. And the first, hang on over to 1 second. I was thinking the other day, what if we offered IPFS.io a split? You know, would they be like, hey,
maybe,
wait a minute, you know,
maybe. They might.
They might.
But, yeah, they'll still change their mind.
But the problem is they're still blocked. They're blocked on some networks.
They can still.
Yeah, there's an issue there.
Right. All right, go ahead, Alberto.
Oh, yes. And, I was thinking, because you have to set up a gateway, if you could create, and you said that before, a way to instantiate or to spin up a gateway as easy as with the nodes, like a Python script,
right?
We would run a gateway. Like, you see the point. Like, the moment you make it reproducible, it's very easy to spin up. Maybe we would be surprised. We would have 10 gateways.
Yeah. I agree.
Right.
I think there's a get gateway code.
Right. Yeah. And like Adam said, he's got his fiber internet at home. He could run a gateway.
Yeah.
I would run.
I'm sure there'd be a lot of people like that.
If I could control the gateway to such an extent, if I had a couple of controls in place where I could turn it off when I needed to, so that it doesn't kill my bandwidth during a show or
limit.
Yeah. Or limit. And also if I could say, okay, over this time period, let's just say per month, I'll go up to this amount of usage and then stop. Like if I could,
there you go.
Do those two things, because if I could use, if I could determine like a cap, a monthly cap of usage, then we could run one on Linode as well, because we have lots of spare bandwidth each month. Each month we use less than 25% of our bandwidth. So we could also serve a gateway. But then I would want to, just to make sure that we don't do overages, I would say, okay, we're going to be able to serve, you know, 4 terabytes and then the node stops, or per day or whatever. If you had those two controls in place, it would be very easy to dial up a gateway that could be used in lots of scenarios.
Right. Yeah. I'd have to come up with a way to kind of rate the gateways too, like who's better than the next, and not to send it to a horrible gateway, you know.
I believe in you, Cam.
So if it's something like that, yeah. Kind of like we've got with the nodes, that, you know, the peer counts is what I'm going off of. If you've got a big, large peer count, then you're a better node than the ones with two, you know, because they're not communicating very well.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
How about we thank some people? Dave, you have a soft out?
Dude, it's not a hard out, it's a soft out.
Soft out, which means we have, what do you have, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes? You got a couple minutes here?
I'm at negative 20 minutes right there.
Okay. All right. Yes. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
All right. So let's thank a few people who have been live boosting because it's been quite beautiful on the boostograms. And then we'll go through the other people we thank. So value for value, if you are new to the concept, it's whatever you're getting out of this project, out of the podcast, send it back to us in time, talent, or treasure. We love the treasure. We love the boostograms, particularly the message part, which is even better than the money part. All of it goes onto our node. We open up channels for you. Whatever you need, we are here to service the entire 2.0 community. And thank you to C-Dubs for his 10101, which just came in. Mike Newman with, holy crap. He has a massive Striper boost, 77,777.
Yikes.
Yeah, yikes is right. I didn't even expect to have to use the Striper donation, but here it is. Friday afternoon, sat slinging in the boardroom, and y'all don't forget to check out the It's a Mood music podcast. I love doing it. You might like listening to it. Go podcasting. Podcast guru Jason will 1776 will try to get back to some IPFS app experiments after we finish our V for V work. Great show, he says. Thank you. Bully Steed with a 222 with a test. We got Sir Spencer, 16,969. Work sucks unless we're working on podcasting 2.0 and decentralizing music publishing. Then work kind of kicks ass. Yes, that's true. Dreb Scott boosting John Ross. He says boosting work sucks by John Ross, 44,333. Mr. Robot boosting for work sucks. Value for value, it just works, 1945. There's Mike Newman boosting the value split. Loving it, John Ross, 7337. Nice elite boost there. Or teat, depends on how you look at it. Booberry, 17,776. Big shout out to Cotton Gin and Stephen B for their work over this week with the new Split Kit IRC bot. Huh.
Ooh.
Didn't even know.
I saw that. No, I saw it just a minute ago. It came through when you played the song, it came through in the IRC.
Oh. Well, so can I control that too? Is that something that... Oh, I like it. Shit's so undeniably lit, he says. You bet. And there's Ben from RSS.com with 1,000 sats, and he says, Netflix is a hosting platform.
Yes,
yeah, we can put them out of business too. No problem. Get this IPFS podcasting thing working. Sir TJ the Wrathful comes in with... Now, he's from the Dorfels. And that banjo stuff at the bottom of the chart, 17,777. Spotify's a scamming. A part of me almost likes not knowing stream play counts. People listen or they don't. The music grabs you or it doesn't. It's the connection to people who dig your music and interact with them that makes it the magic. V for V is real. It's real life. Getting people to try boosting and trying P2.0 apps is the hardest part. We just got to keep encouraging people to try it. Thank you, brother. And you're the people to do it. The artists will do it. NetNed with 10,000 sats. I love your audio blog. Thank you. Thank you, NetNed. Dreb Scott, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, man, we got a baller. Got a baller him for that.
Shakala, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Boosting for the boost boost. Cue the DJ horn. Go podcasting. Anonymous with Satchel Richards, 11,111. Eric PP with 33,333. There's RSS Ben again, 1,000 stats, 100%. Bye-bye, banana. Okay, whatever. We got Carolyn with, 100,000 stats.
Shakala, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
The future is right here with podcasting 2.0. Podcasters can put out a podcast for themselves and succeed with the V for V model. And there's Ben again with 1,000 sats. Bad sign is right. 19 people tuned in to ring the bell. Oh, he's talking about the podcast one. And there's Sir Brian of London, 71,948, a massive Striper Israeli boost. Jiggle the handle. I'll be in Rosarito, Mexico, a short drive from San Diego, the 20th through the 30th September, if anyone wants to say hi. Okay. Hey. All right. Hey, I guess he's doing an OnlyFans meetup. Cotton Gin with 3333. He says, I forgot to lit. Well, we did not sure what happened, but it finally did work. And that is it. Dave, what do you have on your Boostergram list and on the PayPals?
Let's see. Servo said, does Dave have an air horn? But I do not have an air horn button. I don't.
No, I'll
do not have this, though.
That's
I've got lots of
weird stuff, but I do
stop
not
it, have Dave. Everybody. Stop it! You're making everybody crazy. We should just do a show like this. Hi, I'm Adam Curry.
That this is not going to work. This is this dueling horrible things is not going to happen. Oscar Mary, $200. Thank you, Oscar, through the PayPals.
Yay. Okay.
Much appreciated.
What was that? Big piece of paper. Rolling up your paper.
These are large sheets of paper. Thank you, Oscar. We really appreciate that. Nico yes, Klein, $10. Thank you, Nico. No note. Thank you, Nico. Let's see who we got. Charles Seyle. S-E-Y-L-E. What do you think of Seyle?
Sounds right.
Yeah. $10. Thank you, Charles. No note there. Thank you, Charles. Let's see. Oh, we got Travis Hawes sent $7.17. He says, there's a donation only station in San Francisco, SomaFM.com, that could possibly fit your amazing live stream. Huh. Radio Garden app is actually how I found the NA stream. Thank you for all you do.
Well, interesting. You're welcome. Well, contact them. Let them know.
Yeah.
Let them know we're out here.
Let's see. We got some boosts. We got, LTNG store. That's Sam Means. So Sam from Wavelake, he sent 934 sats through Fountain. He says, Wavelake Top 40 is based on sats and time. Splits are coming.
Nice. All right. And by the way, nice interview on Pod News Weekly Review with Sam and also with Ainsley Costello. Definitely worth listening to.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Oh, it's great. Too. I listened to both of them last night in bed. It was fantastic.
In typical Sam Sethi fashion, I have millions of boosts of what I say tests, pod fans, various configurations. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Appreciate it, buddy. Gene Bean, Big Row of Ducks, 2222, says, B&H would likely just replace it for you, Dave.
They did.
They not only replaced it, they upgraded it to expedited replacement for free.
They know who you are. They know what side their bread is buttered.
Anonymous podcast guru user, 1,200 sats a whole bunch of times. Thank you, anonymous podcast guru user. Let's see who we got. Gene Bean again, 2222 through Castomatic. He says, so can the top 100 chart also be a playlist that I can subscribe to?
Ooh.
That is
nice
a great idea.
Nice idea. Yeah. Well, the whole idea is exportable. I saw it on lmbeats.com and I said, Dave, did you already make an API so that Steven could import that? He said, no, he's just scraping the HTML. The poor man's API, but it works.
It would let me find new music and keep up with what's trending. Maybe something related to the music playlist example. Yes, that is a fantastic idea. That I will do this. Okay. So as soon as the chart is finished, I will make also a downloadable version of it that conforms to the list medium.
Nice idea.
Tag. Yeah. And so then an app can just read the feed, suck in all the, and just suck it in as a playlist. This great idea, Gene Bean. Excellent. 1948, Sir Brian of London. He says, gravity is making me get down. Get down, Brian. Thank you for that. Chad F, no note, 3333. Let's see. He did send that a couple of times. BG Lass, Big Lass. I don't know. Satchel Richards, 11111 through Fountain says, I can't get any of Adam's podcasts while running my VPN. Probably the IPFS thing, I would think, right?
Yeah. Well, VPNs, yeah. I mean, the keyword VPN.
It messes
it can mess all kinds of stuff up. Yeah, that happens.
You don't know what you're going to get. Yep. Joel W, 1111, Satchel Richards. Thank you, Joel, through Fountain. No note. Gene Everett, Row Ducks, 2222 through Fountain. He says, boost!
Boost!
Boost! Nicholas B58, a Big Row of Ducks, 22,222 sats.
Whoa.
Through Fountain. And he says, birthday boost.
We'll give you a little cup row of ducks there.
Oh, that was for Adam's birthday.
Thank you.
Franco, 10,000 sats through Castomatic. No note. Thank you, Franco. Appreciate that, buddy. Sam Sethi, 8503 through PodFans. Thank you, Sam. Dobie Doss, 15,000 sats. I'm getting Dobie Doss on the show. Not next week, but the week after.
He's RSS Blue?
Yep, that's right.
Cool.
WDOS2 found in 15,000 Sassy says, after an hour of unsuccessful attempts, I have finally gotten my Satoshis out of Breeze and into your wallet. So let's go.
I was supposed to have a chat with Roy today. He's resurfaced. Oh, his plan landed very late, so we're going to talk tomorrow. But I need to get Breeze on the value time splits, man. Got to get this stuff upgraded.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Billy Bones, 3438. No note. Thank you, Billy Bones. And the Delimiter comic strip blogger, 33015. Through Fountain, he says, howdy, Podcast Index LLC team, Dave and Adam. I'd like to recommend a podcast called Curry and the Keeper.
Oh.
Contrary to what the name might suggest, it's not about Indian spicy food. Instead, it follows... Instead, it follows Adam Curry and his native-born American wife, Tina.
Native-born.
Okay. As they navigate life in a vibrant Texas city, you can listen to the podcast at www.curryandthekeeper.com. Yo, CSB.
Well, thank you, brother. And remember, KTLD.
Keep the lid down.
Monthlies. I forgot, we got out of here last week and I forgot to do the monthlies.
Oh, so double up.
So I've got, double up. I got Emilio Cano Molina, $4. Jeremy New, $5. Podverse, boys over there, $50. Basil Phillip, $25. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Mitch Downey, $10. Christopher Harabarek, $10. Terry Keller, $5. Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Chris Cowan, $5. Paul Saltzman, it's a long list.
Yeah.
$22.22. Yep. Derek J. Visker, $21. Thank you, Derek. Damon Kasajak, $15. Jeremy Gerards, $5. Zenor, Trevor at Zenor Limited, $5. Paul Erskine, $11.14. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. Jordan Dunville, $10. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Dreb Scott, $15. Pedro Goncalves, $5. Cameron Rose, $25. Scott Jalbert,
$12. Great. People are so kind. It's really fantastic.
Because we were out so long, it's almost the entire monthly subscribers in one show. Chad Farrow, $20.22. Kevin Bay, $3 from the endowment. You know, the Kevin Bay endowment.
Oh, yes, the endowment. Sure, sure.
Mark Graham and Martin Lindeskog both gave $1 each. Thank you. Brendan Everett Podpage, $25. And that's our group.
Wow. What a great group. Thank you all so much. Really, really appreciate you. Really appreciate that.
I feel like my paper crumple is overpowered now with this new these new preamps.
OP? It's powerful. It's very powerful. It gives you a feeling of power somehow. I like it a lot.
Yes, thank
you.
I feel like I'm dominating the show. Yes.
Thank you all so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0 Podcast Index. It goes directly towards running all the infrastructure. And thank you, of course, everyone who provides time and talent as well. You know who you are. A lot of them in the chat room and a lot of listening. A lot of you are listening from around the world. We're doing amazing things. I'm very, very, I'm just so humbled by what is happening here. And special thanks to our guests, Cameron and Alberto, for being here today and for all the work you guys are doing on IPFS podcasting. I mean, it's really appreciated. And I think this is going to move the needle. And especially Alberto, I love your insight coming from a hoster, how you just look at that from a, I think you might have rattled a few people with this today.
I hope not.
What do you mean? That we like it when you rattle people. That's good, man. It's good. It's good. Anything else? Anyone else for the final go around here at the table?
No, I'm good.
Just thanks, Adam, for being the master scissor guy. Ah! When you talked about running a booster iron ball, I was nervous too. So.
When Adam starts a new show, everybody gets nervous. That's the way this works.
It all just kind of works. It's really phenomenal. Thank you all very much, Dave. Have a great weekend, brother.
All right, man, you too.
Okay, everybody in the chat room, Cameron, Alberto, thank you all very much. And tune in next week for another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We'll see you then. Boost!
listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Boosting is loving.